Blog Talk Radio.
Holding down the boards once again. OD?
Yo?
You here?
I'm in here. All right. I'm in here.
How you doing, man?
I'm all right, man. Life is good, man, but it's a lot of things we got to talk about today, man. Some of it frivolous, some of it deadly serious.
Not so frivolous. You know, again, yeah. I popped off his on a sojourn to find himself. We're hoping that he's able to climb the mountaintop, get to some state of nirvana, and really, you know, come into his own. We want that man to be better. But he's not joining us right now. You may call in, you never know with that guy. But we're here to hold it down for him and for everyone else. OD.
Yo.
Sandra Bland. Pulled over for failing to signal. Given a ticket. Hauled out of her car for apparently being rude to a cop. 3 days later, she's found dead in her cell. Take it away, brother. Where are you at with this?
Well, let's go down the lane, right? To me, the most disturbing part of all this is the stop that Officer Insignio makes before Sandra Bland, who stops a white girl for a traffic infraction. The white girl has no insurance. She's driving around with no insurance. She doesn't really get so much of the ticket. Nothing stern, nothing belligerent. He lets it go. He busts an illegal U-turn. Now, mind you, this is a state trooper, so he really shouldn't be stopping people on the street anyway. He should be on the highway, but such is life. So he's bearing down on Sandra Bland, who pulls out of his way because, you know, when ambulances and emergency vehicles are in a rush, pull over to the right or to whichever side you can. He pulls her over for an illegal lane change. Now, something of that magnitude, even if it was warranted, which it wasn't, the worst you're supposed to get is a ticket, which you crumble up and bitch about, and then eventually you move on. You pay for it and you get on with your life and you scream fuck the police. Maybe you bump an NWA tape or something and you go on.
But let's be clear on this point, that she changed lanes because there was a cop
car. He was bearing down on her.
Bearing down on her.
She wasn't speeding.
So you do what you're supposed to do,
yeah,
is to get out the damn way.
Yeah. And the ambulance don't look for you to pull your signal on. They going straight, and you should probably move out the way. The fire truck.
And he pulled her over for failing to signal.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So she's smoking a cigarette. She's asking him. Now, first of all, it is illegal in any state for an officer to not give you a reason why you're pulled over. He doesn't give her a reason. He tells her to pull out her cigarette. She doesn't have to pull out her cigarette. That's a, you know, he's saying he's giving her an unlawful order to get out the car. She doesn't have to get out the car. All of these things and the commands that he is giving are not lawful commands. You cannot make somebody get out the car without a reason, without them being under arrest, really. Now, if he felt that Sandra Bland was being belligerent, then you're supposed to call for backup to de-escalate the situation. This is not a violent pullover. This is not a criminal pullover. You're supposed to call for backup and hopefully a senior officer, someone who doesn't have any skin in the game, can de-escalate. You give her your ticket and you move on. Well, between that and him threatening to light her ass up, quote, with his taser, between him yanking her out the car and slamming her on the ground, she ends up in jail for an illegal lane change. Right?
So let's set this in motion right now. The reason Sandra Bland was arrested, which is what pisses me off, is not because she committed a crime, but because she pissed off a cop.
For resisting arrest.
She pissed off a police
arrest
officer.
For what?
He felt disrespected. He felt disrespected and felt that she was being rude to him. So he felt he was within his rights to arrest her. Once he got her out of the car is when we are being told her resisting arrest came into view. She wasn't pulled over because she was resisting arrest. She wasn't being cited because she was resisting arrest. She was arrested after being ticketed for a supposed traffic violation. And the reason for that arrest, we need to be really clear. The reason for that arrest was that she refused to turn her cigarette and turn it out, not smoking in his face, and questioned them as to why she's being stopped. So there's no legal basis to arrest someone because your feelings are hurt. But this is what the cop did. All right, go ahead, OD, continue.
So, you know, luckily a bystander is sitting there filming a lot of it. So after backup comes, the bystander who's being threatened and told to turn off his camera is filming him, you know, manhandling her and arresting her. And she, you know, she says, you know, you slammed me in the head. I can barely hear. You slammed my head into the ground. And she thanks the guy for taping it. The dashboard cam has obviously been tampered with because there are cars that disappear in the middle of it. There's a tow truck guy who gets out of his car 3 separate times during the video. So it's clear that it's been tampered with. And now it's been mysteriously taken down from YouTube with the promise that it'll be put back up undoctored, that it wasn't doctored in the first place, right? While she was in the car, you know, she said, you know, I'm pulling out my cell phone, I'm going to tape it, which she is within their rights to do. And again, he got more belligerent, and he kept escalating the situation. They booked her $5,000 bail. They didn't give her a phone call. The timeline says she got arrested the Friday. They checked on her. Now, mind you, they're supposed to maintain line of sight at all times. And eventually she reported dead on Monday morning. Nobody believes this story. They're showing a mugshot of her that's very conspicuous because she looks dead in the mugshot. The background looks conspicuously like the floor of her cell and not any walls. She's in prison orange, which, you know, most people who are mugshotted is during the processing phase. They don't get, you know, they don't get stuff to, they don't get put in prison orange until they're processed. So there's no profile. There's no picture of her holding up numbers or anything like that. Just some herky jerky, you know, mugshot. This has got to stop. And you know, you get tired of saying it. What makes this one a little bit more serious? One is one about women. And you know, we haven't been given the proper attention to black women who have been brutalized by the police. And it happens almost in the same numbers.
At the same clip.
But yeah. But what's really sad about this is, okay, Eric Garner, well, he should have been selling cigarettes. Sean Bell, well, what are you doing at the strip club? This woman is driving her car in broad daylight. She's not a criminal. She just got a job, a dream job at her alma mater. there's no reason for this woman to lose her life. And for you to say she killed herself, first of all, the place where she supposedly killed herself, the bar with which she hung herself, is 5 feet off the ground. Sandra Bland is 6 feet tall. She's 175 pounds. Now, I don't know what kind of garbage bag you're using in your house, but I could barely get a full bag of garbage in without it fucking busting open. So they must have hefty bags on steroids. Now, when you're in jail, there aren't many things that aren't tied down because of, one, potential violence, and two, because of the risk of suicide and strangling yourself, which is why they remove your shoelaces. The odds that in a prison environment or a jail environment that there's a loose plastic bag is slim and none. So again, we call bullshit, we call foul. This guy should pay for it with his life, whether it's life in jail or, you know, I don't want to put that energy out there and connect it with this show, but this guy should pay with his life. It's time to stop. And it's almost as if they're drawing a line and saying, I dare you. I dare you to do something back. I dare you to protect your woman. I dare you to protect your mother and your sister. I dare you to do something. Jump.
Well, I think, you know...
Hold on, just a second.
Go ahead, go.
I thank her family for not talking that Jesus shit, for not talking that forgiveness shit. And you know what? They're from Chicago. Chicago people don't play that shit. Most people don't know Chicago was founded by a black person. The settlement of Chicago, before they was even a city, when it was wilderness, was founded by a black person. And they don't suffer that shit very well. You know, a lot of times in the Northeast, black people give white people that messiah kind of thing. People in Chicago don't play that shit, so this is not going to go away. Her family is not going to take no judgment from no city and think that make it right. So I'm very glad that they decided to stand and fight.
You know, the thing, aside from police officers and this police officer in particular, you know, feeling slighted and then arresting someone because he felt slighted by them, you know, the attempt to try her in public, talking about her mental issues, talking about her previous alleged suicide attempts, her marijuana use, all of that is distraction. All of that is meant for us not to question the actions of the police. We must question their actions, especially in a case where there is absolutely no probable cause for this woman to have been arrested in the first place. You're just driving down the street and you get a ticket and you mouth off to the police officer and you find yourself in handcuffs. And I'm not getting into all the details that OD just got into to talk about the shadiness that they're trying to perpetrate with her time in jail. But she shouldn't have been in jail in the first place.
Yeah.
This is where the conversation needs to be. Yes, they need to pay for what happened to her while she was in that prison, while she was in that jail cell. But the conversation needs to very quickly shift to her not being arrested, period, because she didn't commit a crime to be arrested for. The crime that she committed was pissing off a police officer. How is that fucking lawful? How is that lawful? We keep, you know, talking and walking around the issue. The issue is not your response to the police. The issue is the police response to you. It's how they respond. It's incumbent upon police officers to de-escalate situations. You don't ramp up a situation that's at level 8 and then go to level 22 because you feel like you got this. How is that even acceptable right now? We are not seeing issues for what they need to be seen as. It is police misconduct. Police misconduct. Regardless of what happened in that jail that caused her to lose her life, why was she in that jail in the first place? Not a drug dealer. She wasn't running any drugs. She didn't have any firearms in the car. She didn't have somebody kidnapped in the trunk. She didn't try to run the cop over. She didn't spray him in the face with mace. She didn't take her cigarette and put it out in his eye. What did she do that caused her to be arrested? And if you watch that video, the only thing you can say is that she pissed off the cop. That's it. So now, not only are we being unlawfully stopped, unlawfully frisked, shot down, but now you better watch your tone, nigga. Because if you don't,
who are you talking to?
I'm gonna take your ass down to jail.
I'm gonna light your ass up. That's what he said.
You
I'm gonna light
nigger.
Your ass up.
You uppity nigga bitch, which is probably what he was thinking in his head. And now this woman is dead. I mean. Man. All right, OD. Moving forward. From the criminally negligent police to the criminally insane Donald Trump.
Yo.
Donald Trump is still out here. He's calling people who got captured by enemy fire, calling captured soldiers bums and soft pussies and all sorts of craziness. He's
but
not
he's
respecting you if you got shot down. He's
but
not
he's
respecting
a
you
doctor,
if
though.
You are. He's not respecting you if you came to this country illegally. What is behind this Donald Trump surge, OD?
Racism, man. Racism
wait,
is woeful ignorance,
man. Wait a minute. Let me turn off this music. Let me turn this music off. OD, I'm asking you a question. What is behind this Donald Trump surge?
Racism, man. This is...
That's a big
See,
one.
Right now, you know who Donald Trump is right now?
Chuck Norris.
Yeah, brother.
Steven Seagal. The fucking last action hero talking that rah-rah American shit. That's what he is. And these people are living vicariously through his idiocy. I mean, this guy, he's like a fucking eighth grader with a spitball gun. Blowing shit at the other candidates. And the fact that, you know, people are encouraging this shit. I'm not even going to give them enough credit to say that they trolled them. Because they dead ass serious voting for this guy. And half of these old ass men, first of all, if you over 50, he insulted your entire generation with that war shit, man. because those people got drafted and they went to war, man. They didn't fucking go to college or hide behind some shit. They went to war. So to have them say that about John McCain, you know, and regardless of what you think about John McCain, he still fought in the war. When he didn't have to, because he had money. He fought in the war and he didn't hide. Clearly, he got captured. So he wasn't doing no, you know, shuck and jive shit where you Elvis in the army, but you ain't really in the army. He's in the, you know, he fought in a war. For Donald Trump, who is a draft dodger, to disrespect that, and for white people, old white men, to sit there and glad-handle that asshole for that, it can't be anything but racism, because that's the only force in America that overpowers everything else.
The military. Only racism could overpower the military.
Only racism can make people forget that some guy is shitting on America. Like, yo, he shitted on veterans, man. Imagine that shit. He shitted on veterans.
So, you know what this reminds me of? You know, to link it to police action, it's that, you know, there's a large segment of white folks in this country who will champion, you know, people who resist arrest and who say, you know, fuck the police, and, you know, who fight tyranny, you know, police coming unlawfully into my house, the federal government this, the federal government that. There's a large segment of the white population in the U.S. that will champion that shit. They are so okay with that, as long as the people doing it are white. Because as soon as a black person does that, they're no longer considered a patriot.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, man.
This falls right into that wheelbarrow. If President Obama in 2008 had the temerity to suggest that John McCain was not a war hero because he was captured, I dare say he would not be President Obama. He would have lost the election. He would have been labeled unpatriotic, more so than he already had been, and he would have faced those consequences.
Oh,
but
yeah,
because it's a white person doing it, and because it's a white person who is talking about
a cartoon
immigration
guy.
Exactly. Yeah. He was talking about immigration. He was talking about the issues that, as OD just
said,
the hot
button issues, yeah,
overtly racist in the way that he speaks and what he espouses, then all of a sudden it doesn't really matter. So this again is a level of supremacy, of white supremacy, that allows for white people to say all sorts of heinous things, to say all sorts of and do all sorts of unconstitutional and unlawful things, like Cliven Bundy, like Cliven Bundy, who had his followers train their rifle scopes on the heads of the federal employees who were there to collect the taxes for their land abuse. Be called a patriot. Let that man have been African American or Hispanic. Patriotism would have gone out of the window.
So,
again, this just, in my mind, the treatment that Donald Trump is getting just solidifies the notion that everyone can see. There are white rules, then there's everybody else's rules.
And what's sad about
it is, we're at a, go ahead.
White people don't even know that they next. this is how exceptional white supremacy is. Even white people victims of it, and they're too dumb to realize it. They'll even sacrifice if they think that you're not really beneficial to the cause, they'll sacrifice you in a minute, man. In a minute. You see any fucking support for Rachel Dolezal? Oh, you want to be a nigga? Oh, no. Meanwhile, Raven Simone don't want to be black, and she got all kind of support from white women. So I don't know
what
the game is. Yeah, she's
on the
View.
She...
So that shit is just fantastic, man. Just to see people voting and taking stances for people whose interests are diametrically opposed to their very existence. But it's all to keep the totem pole intact. You know, they may have taken my home. I may be barefoot. I may be poor, but at least I'm not a nigga. And that's what all this shit is really based around. The escape of negritude, man. At least I'm not on the bottom of the totem pole.
Not at the bottom.
And that's why these people support these morons. Donald Trump? Really?
Number one in the polls.
I mean, in a way, it makes me kind of laugh because, you know, Hillary's going to slaughter whoever comes out of that primary. So this shit is really just comic relief. But just to see, you know why it's funny? Because he trolling their asses the way they troll Obama. So this is like some of their own medicine. It just so happens that I hate Donald Trump with a passion, and he's a shiftless piece of shit. But they are getting trolled the way they were trolling Obama, and I think this is just such a delicious irony that I'm just sitting back laughing at the shit. You got people talking about they running.
I think in essence, they created this Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They allowed this Donald Trump.
It's so fantastic to watch them squirm and come up with excuses and try to take the high road after, you know, all that tar baby shit and all that other stuff they say about Obama. So this
lies.
If it wasn't him, I would think this was hilariously funny. But it's him. So no love for him. But, you know, the way the cookie crumbles, man, that's good for them. And some of those guys don't even have a full percentage point, and they talking about they running for president. You know what that means, right? That means that even running for president and getting those donors is money in your pocket. Because there's no way that all of these people are running and they think they can win. There's no way.
Who do you think has a legitimate, but who do you think in that Republican field has a legitimate chance?
None of them. But, I would consider voting for Chris Christie. I'd have to see what he has to say. I used to work with his brother a long time ago in another life. He rescued New Jersey from a fucking fiscal holocaust, man. And he told everybody it was going to be pain. He told everybody it was going to be pain. He delivered that pain. And now their budget is balanced, man. We've seen that shit in action. So I would, you know, he's a petty motherfucker. But I would.
Jersey's economy is actually in the lower tier of the 50 states.
Yeah.
Their economy over the Christie era. They're in the last five. From when he started his governorship till now.
Yeah.
They've actually lost jobs. They've lost
houses. Jobs, yeah.
They've lost economic pull. Yeah, all the economic numbers in New Jersey have gone down since Christie has become governor. So I don't think he's done a good job. What he's done very well is bust the unions.
He's done that extremely well.
He bust the unions extremely well, but in busting the unions, he gave a huge tax break to the 1%, to the rich. And he fucked up the MTA. So
MTA.
Really, and he's a petty, because, you know, bridges and tunnels. And he's a petty son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, that's the Port Authority. That's Port Authority.
Yeah, Port Authority, excuse me. And he's a petty son of a bitch.
He's a petty fuck. But I'd take him over the rest of that's a big mark. That's a big mark.
And he's a Dallas Cowboys.
I'd take him over the rest of those guys.
You take him over Huckabee?
Yeah, because Huckabee's a blatant racist.
Rubio.
Even worse. There's nothing worse than a Latino that thinks they're white.
Ted Cruz?
No. The nerve of you. Now you're trolling. Now you're on some Donald shit right now.
What about Dr. Ben?
Who?
Dr. Ben Carson. The Honorable. Dr. Benjamin Carson.
Johnny Carson. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Ben. Spider-Man's dead uncle Ben.
You no love for Ben, for Dr. Ben Carson?
Hell no.
One of
because
the greatest.
You know his story would be a fabulous story if he remembered.
Yes.
But he doesn't remember. He's put himself.
OD,
in a
OD,
place.
Hold on. We got a call. OD, hold on.
Yeah. All right.
Yo, what up? It's Niall Intended.
I'm going to try to bring in this call. Hello, caller.
Yo,
it's Niall Intended.
Yo, what's good, brother?
What's good, man? What's good? You know, it's the final call on Thursday.
Absolutely, as always, we cede the floor to the caller. So, go ahead, brother. Take it away.
Oh well, what's the topics for tonight, man?
What do you want? What do you want to talk about? You tell me what you want to talk about. You want to talk about a little
man.
Bit of Sandra Bland? You want to talk about some Donald Trump? What do you want to talk about?
The story with Sandra. I'll be honest with you. I have my girlfriend right now, who I'm looking to make my wife one day. She's an activist, and the whole thing with this woman who was killed is so depressing to me that I can't even really speak on it because it's just terrible. So I'd like to keep it relatively light. What I want to talk about is this whole thing with Meek Mill feeling himself lately.
Oh yeah, we're about to get into that. We're about to get into that. So without further ado, we're gonna keep it moving off of Donald Trump and the Republican candidates, and we're gonna go into this Meek Mill. This week, Meek Millie told the world that Drake doesn't write his own rhymes, and proceeded to just lambaste him on the internet. He sort of kind of apologized.
Which,
it wasn't really an apology.
Which was met with a titanic backlash from the entire internet. It's almost as if Meek Mill was like a dark-skinned suicide bomber who decided that he was going to erase the light-skinned games of Drake no matter what the cost.
So Meek Millie, you know, set off a time bomb on hip-hop, especially on a lot of Drake supporters. Malice, go ahead. Your thoughts?
Well, all right, well, my thoughts are kind of like this, and I've had a few days to think about it. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm not really a fan of either Drake or Meek Mill. For Mill, I like maybe a couple of singles, the ones that popped up on the radio. I don't care about any mixtape stuff. I don't care about any deep album cuts from him. Drake, I acknowledge his talent. I don't always think too much of what he does with it. And personally, I don't think the brother is as introspective or as deep as his supporters give him credit for, but that's just me. But he is talented. He can't rap. I'm not saying he can't. As far as Meek Mill, yo, look, to me, he's the Kevin Hart of hip-hop.
Wow. Wait a minute. Did you just call Meek Mill the Kevin Hart of hip hop? Is that what you said? Could
yes.
you repeat that,
wow.
sir?
Yeah, I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for the connectivity.
Could you repeat that, sir, slowly?
The Kevin Hart of hip hop, because from what I understand, they're both from Philly, right?
Oh, wow.
Wow, and a Philly shot. Hold up.
Now, before I go into that, let me say, props to Philadelphia. I grew up on Philadelphia. I still got the vinyl for Steady B, Let the Hustlers Play.
Nah, we're not going to let that
yo.
Run. Wow.
Yo, son.
No,
it's not even a shot. It's just a point of reference, yo. It's not a diss. It's just a point of reference. But, seriously, though, nah, I mean, there's a lot of similarities, but the main one I'm talking about is Kevin Hart's whole shtick, his stage persona is the guy with the Napoleon complex. You know, his whole thing, he yells a lot, he's real animated. He overcompensates for the fact that he's a little guy. That was amusing to me when he first came out. Now I'm pretty sick of him because he's omnipresent. I mean, in terms of popular culture, he pops up in every movie, on every show.
Right.
And, you know, his shtick just gets tired. And it's the same thing with Meek Mill. Okay, the whole yelling thing that he does on the mic, I can only take with so much of that. He's pretty much like he's a Northeast version of Jeezy. This stuff is amusing when you first hear it, and then the more you hear it, the more you realize, wait a minute, there's really nothing to what this guy is doing. You know, I remember, Diesel, refresh my memory, when Tupac's Back came out, right?
Yeah.
Was he the one that quoted Kane from Menace, look at the motherfucking wheels? That was him, right?
Yeah.
That was him? Yeah, and I remember at the time, maybe, a lot of people were floored by that, and I thought it was the corniest thing I ever heard. And that's just the way I see dude. I don't understand why he is still a topic of conversation. I don't see why anybody cares about this guy beyond a few singles that he came out with a few years ago. And now you're going to go with Drake, who I'm not even a fan of, but Drake is 10 times the rapper you are. Okay, and he has a ghostwriter. Big deal. At this point, that's not even really news. I'm pretty sure he has more than a few ghostwriters, plural. But I'm also sure that he's written a vast majority of his own material. The only thing about that that shocks me is that he will be using ghostwriters this early in the game. But when you look at his output, it kind of makes the level of his output, the amount he puts out, it kind of makes sense. So I'm going to keep this short. To Drake, if you're out there listening by any chance, I'm not a fan of you. I never really have been. In fact, most of the efforts you make to try to win people over, these pictures you released online of him being Diesel, that's just funny to me, dog. I'm sorry. I can't. Nothing you do is gonna. You can't play the LL card at this point. You have your lane. Stick with it. However, Aubrey. However, I will become a fan of you if you destroy Meek. If you do this, I will be a fan. I will acknowledge.
Wow.
You. Straight up.
Wow.
And that's all I got to say about that right there.
Wow.
It's funny you mention LL. There's a famous LL line that says, "You're just a worker and your boss is my man." And that just happens to be the case with Meek Mill. First of all, you work for the Fakers Dude Out. I'm a Rick Ross fan, but let's keep it funky. You work for the Fakers Dude Out. So for you to call somebody else fake is laughable, number one.
But
number
fake
two,
in what way? When you say fake, what do you mean? Because he's not calling out Drake. Yeah, fake rapper. Fake for not writing certain rhymes, correct? Are we saying Ross, you're putting that Ross
no,
as
he called
them, persona?
He called them fake, period. He called them fake, period, like a fake person. Let me tell you something, man. I think a lot of older rap fans need to let go of the fantasy, B. See, when we grew up in this music and culture, so it means a little different to us. You know, we like to believe apocryphal things. Like, hip-hop started when Kool Herc had a party in 1973. No, it didn't. That's a convenient story. But obviously a movement didn't start at some back-to-school party. But Kool Herc was always willing to be counted. So that's the story we go with. We got an affair with rap that a lot of us take that shit more seriously with regard to the music than we should. And when some of those dreams get crushed, people take offense at it. I remember a couple years ago when Dream Hampton that came on and was like, "Nas had a ghostwriter for this, that, and the third," and everybody was like, "Get the fuck out of here!" You know, I happen to have that.
Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. got another caller. We got another caller. Hello, caller.
Yes, hello. This is Pop, representative from the Life King community. And right now, we are in mourning.
Yes.
We are in mourning.
One of your own has taken a serious blow.
I popped off, has come back from his sabbatical, from his self-imposed exile.
Woo.
The light-skinned race is in trouble, and I popped off.
Yeah, man.
The light-skinned community.
Dude, if Steph Curry hurts his ankle or Blake Griffin, you know, gets an injury, man,
woo,
it might be it for your tribe, son.
Goodness
it's
gracious.
Like if somebody, like, drugged Albie Shore and then in sleep, like, shaved off his eyebrows. Is that serious?
Yeah.
It's DEFCON 5 for the light skin community.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I agree with Malice intended. This is his chance to prove that he's a legend. And if he can eat their meek.
Yeah, he's got to come. He's got to come.
You'll be solidified.
It needs to be a direct assault. None of that subliminal Jay-Z shit. When you talk about somebody, but you ain't talking about him, he needs to wipe that guy out. Period. There's no other escape from this than that.
So what you
that
guys are basically, what you guys are saying is that if there is no ether from Drake,
what?
I mean, it would only delay his legend status. He can get his legend badge right away. All this doubt.
Go ahead, Malice. Yeah, let me answer that, because that's kind of what I was hinting at. I feel one of the things that has always stopped me from kind of giving Drake or allowing him his legend status in my mind, putting him on that Mount Rushmore, is the fact that every time a chance comes up for him to prove himself, he kind of folds. And it's like, yeah, look, that whole thing he had with Common, Common's lines weren't that impressive, but at the end of the day, Common got people to laugh at Drake, and Drake bowed out. And it's the same way every time with Kendrick. There's always some excuse why Drake didn't engage. Well, Kendrick's bars were weak. You know, well, look, if you're in a boxing ring, you don't get to choose what punches you answer. You don't get to choose that. And if you're going to wear that crown, if you're going to be saying that you're the best of your generation.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to engage. I'm not even saying you got to engage the best. Just engage somebody.
Well, yeah.
OD?
And Malice.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you dark-skinned?
Nah, unfortunately not.
Are you light-skinned?
Let's just say I'm lightly toasted. We'll leave it
so
at that.
He dwells
in the nether, in the limbo between dark skinnedity and light skinnedity.
Yes.
No, then he's not light skinned because he would have wore that proud. Okay, just check.
Can I say one last thing, and I'll give the floor to the regular. And I just want to wrap up how I feel about Drake. One of the things that Drizzy also needs to do that I think is hurting him and crippling him, at the end of the day, brother, either accept the lane you carved out for yourself or don't. Because I see a guy who is very much at war with himself over the fact that dude's still clowning and things that he saw. You can even hear it in his music. Yeah, it's like you can hear it in his music because every once in a while, he'll hit you with that aggressive shit to let you know, well, look, I'm still that dude. I still got bars. You guys just don't want to admit that I'm as dope as I am.
Because we don't believe in the aggressive shit.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing. Either make peace with the lane you've carved out or really go for the gold and rip this nigga's head off. There is no choice here.
Yeah, you kind of got to go for the gusto on this, man. I'm in agreement.
All right.
Yeah, but
speaking of going for the gusto, Ghostface Killah.
Woo-hoo!
Went on.
I
don't
want nobody sound like me. On no album.
And took exception to Action Bronson basically making fun of him on live TV on ESPN last week. First of all, what do we think of Ghostface? What do we think of the video? And what do we think should happen from here on out? OG, I'll let you
know. Yo, this video reminded me of some of those classic WWF interludes, WCW interludes with Ric Flair or Macho Man Randy Savage, where they're just talking impossible shit that you know ain't gonna happen, but you fuck with him anyway. You're not going to set his beard on fire, Ghostface Killer. You're not going to string him up butt naked and barbecue his titties or whatever the fuck you said in that video. You're not going to bang his nuts with a spike pad or whatever the fuck you guys talk about. But the threat was visceral and real. And really, it gave Action Bronson zero room. Either you apologize, or I'm fucking you up on site. The end. Either you double down, or you back out and apologize. He chose the
off.
Smart thing to do.
I popped off. Still here?
I'm still here, bro. And the Lightskin community is still mourning.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me anything you want.
When you clicked on the Ghostface rebuttal to Action Bronson.
Yes, Action Johnson.
And you heard the Teddy P. You heard Teddy Pendergrass in the background. How did that make you feel?
Honestly, one of my proudest who moments in a very, very long time. And I know Malice, whether he's decided to be light-skinned or not, can agree, because he's a big Wu fan. And I think it was my proudest moment. It took me back when, you know, the Wu brand meant something. And when he was pointing to the song, and then the song lyrics were kind of coinciding to what he was talking about, it just felt great. It just felt like... Yeah, it felt like the 90s again for like that 3 or 2 minutes. So I applaud him. I hope he does see him on site.
Wow.
Yo, I got to answer this. I got to say something about this. I got
As the Wu-Tang, as the Wu, the Wu-Tang.
As the Wu-Tang star, bro.
Go ahead, speak on this, brother.
We get a little posse, we got to go.
This is something I've known since the fall of 1996 when I went to a store called the 43rd Chamber in Midtown Manhattan and I was bumping Iron Man along the way. Something I realized is that the Wally Champ always strikes back. Action Bronson has had this coming for a minute. I mean, you can't just be sounding like this guy for this long and then expect him not to say something eventually. As far as the video is concerned, you know what? I don't even really take it seriously, but one of the things that makes Ghost great is that he's a funny dude. Even though you know he's not going to do anything he's talking about, it's hilarious to hear him say it. And I'm going to go with I popped off. I'm going to agree with him. Because let's be honest, fellas. Bomani Jones, he said a similar thing earlier this week. A lot of these things that are important to us, these younger kids, they don't see hip-hop as a culture. They don't see it as having ethics or rules, or they don't have a specific idea of what a rapper is supposed to be. They don't care about ghostwriters. They don't care about bite. They don't care about nothing. They just care about they like what they hear. We care about all that stuff. And it's just fun to see this kind of thing come out again. To be honest with you, I don't even know if this is going to affect Action Bronson. It might. It may affect him.
It
may not. Yeah,
it
but it's like at the end of the day, one of my Facebook friends was saying, instead of doing all this childish shit, Ghost just do it old school and battle him. Who the fuck wants to see a battle between Action Bronson and Ghostface? I don't want to see that. Just keep it with these little skits and keep it moving. I don't want to see these guys battle. I don't care about Action Bronson outside of maybe one or two songs. At the end of the day, Ghostface got this. It was funny. The new album is dope. I'm happy.
Yo, from my perspective, this was one of the greatest weeks in hip hop in a very long time, and it had nothing to do with the music. It had everything to do with Meek Millie.
With the beats.
Had everything to do with Ghostface.
With the spice.
Had everything to do with people going at each other. I love it. This is great. This is what hip hop should be about. It should be about fuck yous. It should be about if I catch you. It should be about I don't want nobody sounding like me on an album. If you can't dig that, if you can't accept that and love it, I have no fucking hope for you. This was awesome. As far as Drake, I don't believe there will be an Ether song coming soon at all. I don't see it happening. Don't think it will ever happen because that's not him. That's not his lane, as Malice said. He has to pick a lane. I think the lane has been chosen for him quite well. It is what it is at this point.
You say you don't expect the Ether. Do you mean you don't expect a response in the in the same crushing death blow that Ether was, or a response that is a light jab either way?
No, I don't expect the soul crushing response that Ether was.
And that'll make his soul burn slow.
Yes.
Okay.
If there's a response, it has to be soul crushing. If it's not soul crushing, it's not a response. Not for this. No. And I don't think they will be. I think it will be subs. It will be subliminals. It will be, you know who I'm talking about, but I'm not really going to say it. And that's going to be really corny.
And that will make Drake the biggest also-ran in hip-hop history if he does that.
I kind of agree with you. I definitely agree with you. It would be the equivalent of, getting boxed out by the bully that's on the block.
Wow.
Which is horrible because Drake is 100 times the rapper that Meek Mill is. This should be a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if it's not, right, what do we call that?
Pushed out, man.
There you go.
Well, here's the thing. In our generation, it's pushed out. In his generation, you just ignore it, and it's just going to go away. Because they don't care about that. That cultural resonance is not there. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
Whenever hip-hop was able to be consumed without having to live that life, it removed a very big part of it from the ethos of the music. You could have been at the tunnel and seen Keith Murray snuff Prodigy.
Right.
Or you could have been in the park where they stuck somebody up for their speakers. Now, you got kids on message boards from fucking Slovenia telling people how Big L got shot in the back of his project. And they can sound as authentic as fuck, too. And they definitely be from Czechoslovakia. That don't even exist no more. They fuck your fans. So, the ideals that we have and the way we think about this music don't really exist for the people that consume it now. So is anything going to happen to them? Is he going to sell less records? No. But to those who have begrudged him, it's only going to make him look worse. Exactly how much of the market that is, probably small. But, that Kendrick thing is one thing. You already was on a record with him in Sanctum. That common shit was over a chick. So you can get points for not responding because it's over a chick. This is a direct affront to who you are as an MC. You gotta spank him, baby. You gotta spank him. And if you don't, you don't really have the respect that you hope to get.
And with that, I got one more question on this hip hop shit before we go to the food topic. Am I the only one here that listens
yes.
to DS2, yes. Dirty Sprite 2 by Future.
Yes. Yes.
What?
That's all I want to know. Am I the only one who listens to it?
Yes.
So what?
Any thoughts on the album?
Yes.
Does anybody
have
thoughts on the album?
What album?
Malice.
What album is this?
Future.
Exactly.
Dirty Sprite 2. I popped off. OD.
What album are you
okay.
talking about, man?
Moving forward.
Okay. I know you didn't just say a Future
food
album.
Topic. Fellas, this is a really important topic to me, man. This food topic is really important to me.
Just Jay, before you go on, I have to leave the duty calls.
Yes.
The duty calls.
Absolutely.
But again, thanks for letting me sit in. Thanks for letting me sit in with you guys, man. It's always a pleasure. Peace.
It's our pleasure,
peace.
Man. Peace. All right. The watermelon versus the mango. America versus the Caribbean. OD, which of those two fruits is the superior?
Well, each of these fruits are tantalizingly delicious. Each of these fruits are occasionally difficult to handle. They're also seasonal. But in a test of wills and a test of skills, you kind of got to go with the watermelon. I'll tell you why. The mango depends too much on where it's from. If you're in the Caribbean and you have a mango, it's a totally different experience from eating one of these American mangoes imported from El Salvador or Argentina or somewhere. They're just not sweet enough. But then let's go deeper. You slice the watermelon, right? Now let's talk about the agility of the watermelon. You can cut a hole in the top of a watermelon and infuse your favorite alcoholic beverage in the watermelon, leave it overnight, come to the barbecue the next day, and get every pretty girl in the place drunk without some Bill Cosby type shit. They know you like the watermelon. There's a hole in the top. They know what's coming, and they don't care. Because drunken watermelon is fucking fantastic. But then let's go further. It can hydrate the kids and satiate them at the same damn time. You can cut it up in little chunks. It's hot, 90 degrees out. They've been running around picking boogers and doing whatever little kids do. It's watermelon, straighten them right up. Mangoes, first of all, you got to peel it, which is in and of itself one of the most annoying things in fruit stivity, right? Now, if it ain't frozen, you can't cut it into chunks. So it has to be frozen or else, you know, it's almost like eating a sweet afro, man. There's hair all in your teeth. There's mango hairs all in your tooth. You got to pull them out, pick them out. It's just such a messy, disgusting experience. And then, if you bought a bad one, you just did all that shit for nothing because it ain't even that sweet. How many mangoes you got to get for the whole family, man? You only need one watermelon. One.
I popped off.
Two things. I don't like watermelon. I don't like eating it. Second, as a man of color, I refuse to be seen eating a watermelon. So for that, mangoes is a go. Regardless of how difficult, of how messy, and how much hair I get in my mouth, I don't mind getting hair in my mouth. That's where I stand.
I don't give a shit about what people think about black people and what. Who don't like watermelon? Besides, I popped off in the light.
I don't. I don't like watermelon at all. It's like you biting into solid water. There's no flavor. You bite into it and all you get is water.
Stop eating those New York what?
You're eating a triangle of water. You bite into it, it's water. A mango I can taste. And how many cool rap lines did you have about watermelon? Remember poor mango and my non really is sweeter than a mango.
Woo! Yeah, but he's black.
And I come on now.
As a person, but, you know, I don't care about what Cormega says about watermelon. I mean, mango.
See, you already confused. Action Johnson, come on now.
That wasn't me. That was you're confused.
No, I'm just saying. I'm making a reference to a confusing statement said earlier. I know you didn't say it. Wow, you sound mad, bro.
I think you should just deal with the Drake loss and keep it fun.
We are in DEFCON 5 in the Lexican community, I must say that. But mangoes rule over watermelon any day.
However, you did have a good year with Steph Curry, so that might mitigate some of the damage done. Steph Curry had a good year.
Lexican community just didn't have like.
Dude, although we call
him Steph Curry with the pot.
Yeah, but he's got
to be
Light Skin Hall of Fame.
Before we put Steph in the Light Skin Hall of Fame, I'm going to have to side with the mango. And the reason is much like I popped up just said. I will refuse to be seen in society eating a mango full of seeds. Yeah, just not going to do it. It's not
a mango full of seeds?
As a watermelon full of seeds. It's not as tasty.
I think we should move on to the next topic because I just.
Action Johnson!
It's like a black action figure. Action Johnson.
Action Johnson. How do you want your ribs?
I want them hot, baby. Hot.
Action Johnson. Let's go to the parting shot.
Parting shot.
Is he related to Action Jackson, though? Are they
cousins? I know. The distant cousin. Gene does not want to eat a mango full of seeds.
Yeah.
Parting shot.
But yo, but time out, though. Why did he fall for Max Kellerman's okie doke? It was clear.
Because
it was clear.
Idiot.
That Max Kellerman, as a Ghostface fan, was setting him up for utter destruction. It was clear. And he
does this mean that Lord Jamar's statement that white people are just guests in hip hop is true?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Right.
Shout out to Leo Cohen for starting another label on the low and signing a lot of coons to ridiculous contracts. Fetty Wap is on there, Migos is on there, got a couple of really slave contracts going on. So shout out to Leo for keeping the Jews in charge of the field, niggas.
The TIs.
Wow.
The Israelis.
Yeah.
OD, parting shot.
Yo. My parting shot is that every white person who is responsible for Donald Trump's 24% lead in the Republican primaries, man. You guys are going to make this the funniest fucking primary season of all time. I would have focused on Antonio, but really what that guy has done is too low for a parting shot, and I feel he should pay with his life, and I hope he does. So, you know, it's not even worth making fun of it as a parting shot. That I wish death on him and everybody who knows him and everybody who's related to him. So, you know, such is life.
I want to give a parting shot and a formal shout out to the very slept on, very underappreciated bastard stepson of the ribeye. I want to say I love you to the churrasco steak.
My parting shot is to me. Not only did I listen to Dirty Sprite 2.
You lost on that one, bro.
Not only did I listen to it in its entirety.
You liked it.
Let's not get outrageous, fam. Shots for you. I felt kind of dirty when I listened to it.
That's what you should.
It didn't make me feel good that I was actually listening to the album.
Did you change the lyrics to "I want some hummus" instead of "I want to fuck up some hummus"? And you got the "I want some hummus"?
No, sir, I did not. So yeah.
Maybe you would have enjoyed the experience better.
Oh, the album stinks. It's horrible. It's like 19 songs. Oh, and he's mumbling throughout the entire TLC album. Oh, my God. And then when you make sense of what he's saying, he's telling you to go drink drugs. It's just horrible.
Go drink drugs.
I felt bad. Horrible. And that's it.
Buddy, squad, man. That's all, folks, man. We'll be back same bat time, same bat channel next Thursday, 9 o'clock.
Week.
Yeah, man. Tune in, man. We the best.
That's O Diesel. That's I Popped Off. And
I want to say that Just Jay is the Conan O'Brien of Firing Squad host.
Yeah. Peace. I got my own show. One.
Hey.